Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our opinion, our opinion, our opinion.
You really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, 'cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, 'cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seed. We gotta grow as a
good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Lois Bullock, and I'm your host this evening for Let's Talk Truth. And we are here to enjoy another dynamic show. Hopefully, you're going to really enjoy this show, and maybe it will give you something to think about in your own life or something that you may can pray or concentrate on and help someone else in their life. Today, we're going to talk about hypocrites among us. Hypocrites among us. Now, as we move into this show, we have our guests this evening. We have Courtney and we have Shannon this evening. And since we're talking about hypocrites among us, I'm going to ask Courtney, what if you had to give me a definition of a hypocrite? What would that be?
My definition of a hypocrite is someone who doesn't want you to do a thing, but they do a thing, and they punish you for doing that thing that they don't, that they say don't do, but they do.
But they do it. Okay. All right. So Courtney is saying that his definition of a hypocrite is a person who puts a rule out there that they break themselves, but then punish you for taking part in that rule breaking. So we have Shannon here this evening. I'm going to ask Shannon the same question. If she had to define hypocrite, what would that definition be?
Pretty much the same thing as Courtney. The only difference is I won't say punish. I'll say anyone who condemns or looks down upon someone, a certain action or mode of thinking, as if it was something wrong with it, but in actuality, the same way throughout history, we've been able to look at this. Look at Hitler. He wanted to kill anyone that didn't have blonde hair and blue eyes, yet he had black hair and brown eyes. He wanted to condemn homosexuality, yet still he was a closet gay. All of these things that he portrayed, and that's throughout history. We're inundated with it on a day-to-day basis, but we'll get into that, but that's my definition.
Okay, so that's good for a definition. Now, I'm going to give you guys Webster's definition, and it goes along with the same thing they're saying. It says, a person who pretends to have virtues, moral or religious beliefs, principles, etc., that he or she does not actually possess, especially a person whose actions belie stated beliefs. So in other words, if you tell me something, you should be doing it yourself, okay? So we're talking about hypocrites. Now I'm going to ask you a question, and because I've been giving this some thought, do you feel that maybe hypocrisy has a lot to do with the downfall of the world and the state that it's in at this point?
Yes. I believe that what is happening in the world today, is because of hypocrisy.
Okay. I believe that too, because I think that when you have people who govern a certain group of people, we have people in higher places, whether it be someone in your church, the government, you always have a person who looks and says, okay, you're expecting me to do this, but this is what you're doing. And in turn, that creates a what? Rebellion.
Okay.
So you have people running amok because they feel like they have no example. You know, that's like, you know, your mother, your father. When I was in high school, a lot of people, you know, they had the say no to drugs. That's when that first campaign first started getting big. Say no to drugs, say no to drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But we were in class, and one of our teachers got picked up for doing drugs,
mm-hmm.
for smoking crack in the teacher's lounge.
Mm.
So you telling me you're preaching us and say no to drugs, and yet you getting high before you teach me?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're I believe we're all on one accord there when we say that we absolutely believe that hypocrisy is playing a great part in the downfall of society as it is, or the world as a whole. My question is this: are we living in a world that tells us to live a certain way, but the person that's handing those rules down is living a totally different lifestyle? And we just said that we do believe that. And are we labeled a hypocrite, and how much power do we still have to influence others?
You don't.
If we have been labeled a hypocrite, do we have power to influence others in a positive way?
No, you don't. Because what you do is, like I learned a long time ago, trust is something that you give freely. It's very easy to break, and it's hard to gain back. And when you're in a figure where when you have the ability to tell someone else what they should do, that means you're in a position as a leader. And if people are trusting in you and you're making all these decisions, and then you come back and they find out that everything that you've been telling them, you're living a facade, a lie, it breaks that person's trust, not only in you but in everyone else. It's a chain reaction.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to believe, well, if I believe this and that person so long, what makes me think that John won't be just like Jim, or Catherine won't be just like, you know, Rita? It's a never-ending cycle. Because you break that person's trust, you break their trust as a whole,
mm-hmm.
not just in you, in whatever stance you're in. You know, it's like saying, I've been railroaded by the government, so you trust no one in the government. I've been railroaded by a guy or a girl, so I don't trust men, I don't trust women. You know, all that kind of stuff. So you lose your ability to be influential in any type of way. Your credibility is shot. You, at that point, most people choose to become a martyr. Like, well, it was just this, you know, the whole, I have sinned.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I understand that. We all have sinned, but don't, you know, that's what people get for trying to govern someone in a way, this is what you should do, what you need to do, and your stuff not together.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the main thing. I think that if the only way that you can do good about it, The only way you can do good about it is if you out yourself and you totally change. But while you are being a hypocrite, you know what you're doing is always going to be shake every. I don't care.
It's going to always be controversy there.
It's going to always be conflict. So you know that is why, you know. You won't be able to do that. I believe that you really have to say, listen, yes, I was one. I mean, you have to really, like, tell on yourself.
Really, I agree.
So that people can understand where you were. Everybody not to drink, but I was the biggest drunk.
Yeah.
I understand that, and it was
but
wrong.
But don't paint yourself as if you have never been anywhere.
You know, I have a perfect example. When I was, like, 19 years old, I used to work at a call center in my city, and it was a lady there who was dating a married man, and it was a lady who worked with her. When I say that lady talked about her every day, we were sitting just listening. She was like, and you know better than that. I mean, everybody can see it, and yada, 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 woo-woo-woo-woo. I mean, just talking about this lady had her feeling so bad that she even opened up, and everybody knew that she was dating that married man. We all would look at her and know y'all going to lunch, and he got a wedding ring on, and it's not yours. We knew he was a married man. But she chose to go ahead and date him. She was an older woman, so I felt like that's not my place. Maybe she feels alone. Maybe she feels this. But that lady berated her every day. But come to find out, you saying that because you have a husband, but the husband that you got, you took from another woman.
Oh, yeah.
So now when the truth comes out to the light and you have egg on your face versus saying,
uh-huh,
instead of making a big spectacle out of it,
mm-hmm,
see, I'm not saying, let me just say, everybody falls short. Everybody can do something to hurt you, but it's how you go about it.
Mm-hmm.
If that woman had pulled up to the side and said, you know what, I used to be you, and I ended up marrying the man I took, and honey, I'm going through hell.
Mm-hmm.
If she had just been open and told that woman that, but versus making a spectacle of this lady out on in front, if anybody who works in the call center knows, it's just a group of people, and so everybody hears everything, and so we're all having the gossip for the day because she's making a big spectacle out of this, but then you look like such an idiot,
mm-hmm,
because you're berating this lady, but look at you.
You
so now we're all telling you, now that you are being bashed,
mm-hmm,
you don't like the feeling. She quit. She actually quit because people turned on her. Like, how are you going to talk about her and you're doing the same thing? So we have to be careful when we're telling someone. Everybody has a story. Everybody has something they've overcome, things that they're still trying to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about how you do it. You can't tell someone, you better not ever put a drop of alcohol on your lips. I got a case of beer in my trunk, though. But I'm going to tell you,
mm-hmm,
don't you ever do it. Instead of saying, you know what, I've been battling with drinking for a long time, and had I never picked it up in the first place, I wouldn't be in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in how you present things to people. But when you put it as a matter-of-fact thing, like this is what it is and why,
mm-hmm,
you leave that door open because you have skeletons in your closet. And should you try to talk about someone else, you're trying to shove those skeletons in your closet, that door's going to burst open, and those skeletons are going to come out like Halloween.
Exactly. Now, we're talking about hypocrites among us. They're everywhere. We entertain. Some of our best friends are hypocrites. Some of our pastors are hypocrites. And any number of people that are in an influential position mostly are now hypocrites. And I think the one thing that we are being confronted with is power.
Mm-hmm.
What do people now associate with power? Money. If you have money, you can influence anything,
yep,
and anybody. So because of the fact that money is everything, I know Beyonce says, who runs the world? Girls. But actually, what runs the world is money. You can be a squirrel. If you've got money, you've got position. So because we are so focused on money, and because money rules us, that's really where our hypocrisy comes from, is our ability to have power.
That's
and
right.
Money gives us power.
And I wouldn't just say money, but the power of control.
Exactly. And how do you control the world today?
Money. But, you know.
Money can get information. Money can get anything you need to be powerful. You bring the right dollar amount to the table and you can get it. Now, let me ask you this. We are mostly, we mostly stay in a certain group or a certain level where our hypocrites formed. We have it in our home. We have it in our church. We have it politics. We have it on the job. We have hypocrites on the job. Now, out of those areas that I just named, home, church, politics, jobs, Those are basically the four places that control comes into the lives of society. Which one of those places do you think is mostly, has the most influence or has the most hypocrite? Is it in the home, church, politics, or work? What's more influential as far as entertaining hypocrites, the hypocrisy of
politics,
of everything?
Politics. And, well, I don't know. You said home, work.
Church. Politics.
Church.
You agree with that?
I think work.
You think?
I think church. Let me tell you why. Because half the people that we work with
go to church.
See, at my church, honey, I've been invited to so many churches now, believe me. You know, I'm not trying to turn it into a sermon, but what I will say is if the church, those of you who know what church is supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
if it was what it's supposed to be, things would be like they are.
Exactly, I believe.
Why is it so hard to draw people to the church? Because you hear how many people who have gone to church, and it is church politics,
mm-hmm.
who have the biggest hat, who has the best shoes. Oh, honey, I'm going to kill them with these shoes this Sunday. Instead of going.
Who has a Mercedes or a Bentley? Or
and who's going to shout across the front the longest?
The one with the new clothes.
Yes, girl, I'm going to let them see this suit. I'm going to let them see it all at the front. I'm going to dance by Sister Marion because she thinks her wigs are always cute. It goes on like that. And I will say this. Anybody who has a public speaking forum, whether it be politics, church, work, anytime you are able to capture a mass audience and give information is when the biggest condemnation comes across. And I can say in church because that's where I've experienced most of it. I've had the people who, you know, claim that God sat down and talked to them the day before. You come across the pulpit or your mode of talking, wherever you are, and you have the most condescending views on things. You make people feel shameful. Now, it's a difference. Now, let me clear it up. It's a difference when a word is going forth and no one knows that it's hitting you. No one can see that it's hitting you but you.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone blatantly comes across and is talking and everybody turns around and looks at you, then that means it's a personal message. For example, I went to a church when I was very young, and I didn't have on anything scantily clad. I was fully covered. I had a long sleeve, you know, little jacket. My cleavage was not showing. I had my collar buttoned up to the neck. My skirt, however, when I sat down, it came right to my knees. So which means when I was standing up, it covered my knees. I was condemned because I had on that skirt. It wasn't on the floor.
Who were you condemned by?
The pastor of the church.
Okay.
Who pointed out, I don't mind having new guests here, but if you choose to come in here like Jezebel, with those skirts on, with that lip gloss. At the time, I wore lip gloss. It was just a shine on my lip.
Mm-hmm.
And you wear lip gloss and be Jezebel. And at that particular time, I became very ashamed. I was like, well, I didn't know that I was doing anything wrong. Like, I didn't know this is not how I was taught. You know, I didn't know that I had to be completely covered to the front, trip over my dress in order not to be considered mm-hmm. Jezebel until I went to my pastor and had a talk. And he explained to me that some people have different views on things. And we sat down and I read the word for myself. And I had to get that for myself. When you have people who don't know, it's like people who don't know the law. You know, at one point in time, I used to go to Houston all the time. And I'll be honest, I would hit speeds of 120. I did not know until this year that I could have gotten a felony for that. I had no clue. I'm just driving because everybody else is driving fast and I'm flying. I knew I could get a ticket. I didn't know it would be a felony. That's why knowledge is power. When people have something over you, they can exude however they want to make you feel.
They
have the power to build you up or tear you down. Exactly.
And that's why hypocrisy is so dangerous. Now, we're going to hit some little segments here, but let's do it. Let's start with our politicians. Now, here in the news, we have found that this country, United States of America, is so divided. And actually, friends that we have from other countries that live here in the United States, they absolutely call us hypocrites because, number one, let's take drugs. They will say that drugs, you know, don't smoke weed. Say no to drugs. Say no to weed. Now, I don't do drugs. So you cannot say that I'm trying to pad myself because I do drugs. I don't do weed. I don't do any drugs. I used to smoke 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day, but that was over 20 years ago. I've never been a drinker, but if weed is bad for you, how many people do you know have lung cancer from smoking weed?
None.
I mean, has it been, maybe I need to research it.
I have.
But I just need to know, are there any lung cancers out there from smoking weed?
No.
Okay. Are there any accidents? Are there any wrecks, people that have been killed because somebody was smoking weed?
No.
But there have been people killed in accidents from drunk driving.
Exactly.
There have been people killed or dying of lung cancer because they smoke.
Look at that commercial. Hi, this is Terry. She died.
Yes, because they smoke. So if I'm going to be in a position, in a leadership position in the United States, if I banned marijuana, shouldn't I ban cigarettes and alcohol?
Same thing.
So why don't we?
Because
it makes too much money.
Yeah, and it upsets your power base. And these are the things that, you know, I have a friend who has lived in Europe, and that's what he said. He says, you know, he's an American citizen now. He said he loves America. He says, but he sees why other countries don't like us. He said because they would rather for us to say, hey, listen, we're Americans. We're going to do anything that we want to do because we're a superpower. You know, we have the most pool. We're the big boys on the block. So
mm-hmm.
we just want y'all to act like this.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. We act like we're holier than thou, and we're not. We're just as dirty
mm-hmm.
as everybody else. And this is why you have in America, and this is politics, this is why you have in America, we're so divided on things because we have people that are hypocrites trying to make law when the laws they're trying to make don't benefit anybody but them.
And that's it.
Because they don't think it should be like that.
Yes.
You know, whether it's whatever. You know, I think that you should, you know, free health care or anything like that. You want to give it to someone, but you don't want to take it.
Exactly.
So you use what I use then.
And if we're going to make health care affordable, why don't we put a ceiling on these prices?
I agree.
You know, somebody, I was looking at a statement from a doctor's office where somebody had been in the hospital. They paid like $45-$50 for a Tylenol. Why don't we put a ceiling on medicine?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we put a ceiling on that instead of trying to force everybody into, we're going to make health care affordable. You're going to make health care affordable for me. Stop charging me an arm and a leg for an aspirin. You know what I'm saying? Stop running all these tests on me when you know that I don't need these tests. So it's just a lot of things that we see that's hypocritical within our politician, and then you say, well, vote for me. I'm Democrat, I'm the best. Vote for me, I'm Republican. Until we get the greed out of our system, it doesn't matter what your stance is. You've got to stop being a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And that's where I think a lot of the influence comes from. Now, let's take it back to the church. If the church was really what it said it was, why do we produce so many politicians, hypocritical politicians?
Because it's all for power. This is the thing that people don't understand. Churches, jobs, and political arenas use hypocrisy for their power base, because as they want to be the leaders, they don't be the leaders by being a leader in qualities. They want to manipulate to be the leader.
Exactly.
And that's why they use hypocrisy for it. There's no leader in our politics that is free from hypocrisy.
Mm.
And they blatantly do it. All of them.
Mm. That's horrible.
So, and in jobs, we have hypocrisy. We have people who will say, oh, yeah, we don't take, you know, our lunches. But then they're taking our lunches.
Exactly.
And then you're getting in trouble for doing stuff that everybody else is doing or not getting in trouble for and things like that, when there's no level playing field. Nobody wants to be fair. Everybody has their bias, and that everybody's going to be biased. There is nobody on this earth that is unbiased on something. You know, like, I don't really feel which way, you know, whatever. Let me get the facts in it. There's no, because you're always going to be biased towards something. Some people that like chocolate, some people like vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, you're going to have a bias.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't be a hypocrite to certain subjects. I have a daughter. And things that she does, if I know I do them, I talk to her about it, but I can't punish her, because that'll send a negative image into her. She's saying, but Daddy, you do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why can I not do this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And if I say, well, baby, it's dangerous, but you do it, Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm willing to say I'm dangerous and say, well, only, you know, big grown-ups can do it. But if it's dangerous, it's dangerous all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need to be doing it.
So what we're actually saying here is that hypocrisy is absolutely ruling the world and ruining the world. And because there's power in being a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm. You can be very powerful being a hypocrite.
Because you're trying to please. And I think that hypocrisy comes with the fact that your power base, you have to please everybody. And you're not, you know, you can't please everybody.
Nope, you can't.
But you have to please what's right. You have to do what's right.
They please the majority first.
It's horrible.
They don't, you know.
They please the majority first. That's why you get people who, you look at politicians, they get in the office. They go on one standard when they get in the office. They didn't just change their views overnight. You do what it takes to get in the office, and when you get in the office, boom, it's something else. Well, I know I said this, but...
Politicians like to create controversy to stir up to...
So they can...
take the spotlight off of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had some tragic things happen, and things have been in the media, whatever. But if I'm going to get a message across, what I think is low down to do is to have survivors or something standing up that this is why I want. Because I guarantee that if the things that they were doing for the children and for the better, greater good, let's see how many homeless people they go to. Let's see how many regular people they kick it with every day. See, you don't lie to me and say that you're for me when I know I've never seen your face. You are lying to me.
Mm-hmm.
If you're saying it's for the greater good, then, you know, just like take, for instance, weapons, guns.
If it's for the greater good, then you put down all your stuff. You just say, all your bodyguards, they don't need none. Because if how greater are you than me?
Exactly.
We're all the same. You're the only thing that you are, you are a spokesperson, because everybody in the world can't go to every country and talk and say, this is what, all you are is a representative. You're not nobody's leader. You don't, you know, I don't have to kiss your feet. And how, if you have never met me, how do you know what's best for me?
You don't.
So you just get into my mind, and then you say, well, I know what's best for Courtney, so I'm going to. No, you don't do that. See, because something in your life, just because you've been bullied on, and now you want to take a stance on something because of how you feel, that's wrong. And when you make policy like that, you affect everybody in the negative. And that's where hypocrisy is bad at, even in the churches, even at work. They make policy that'll benefit the company, not the worker. And they don't understand that without the worker, the company will fall. Because I guarantee all these managers and CEOs, if the underlings left, you could not run these Fortune 500 companies by yourself.
No, you couldn't.
No,
but
couldn't.
You want to be, you want to use the hypocrisy of everything and not, and you know, and tailor things on how this company will make money. But you don't want to look at your worker. They don't understand that if you please the workers, they'll work until they die for you. But if you are saying do one thing and doing another, they're going to look at you and say, you know what, I'm not going to work. I've seen it plenty of times in churches. That's why people go. That's why people don't go to church anymore, because there's so many hypocrites in the church. Oh, the Bible says this, but then they have 4 and 5 kids
in
by somebody
church.
Else.
With a wife sitting in the church.
With a wife sitting in the church. And so you're telling me that I got to look up to you so I can go to God and all this kind of stuff when you are, you know, being homosexual. And I'm not getting on homosexuals, but that's how the church sees them. They see that as a sin. So you're telling me I can't do this, and you're steady bashing it, but in closed doors, you're a homo. So why would you bash them if you are one?
Exactly.
If you do dope, why do you go so hard on the dope person? I never understood that. I'm not a smoker, but I don't understand how they do smoking, people that smoke so badly. I don't understand that, because people choose to go to places. You're saying smoking is bad, but we're going to still sell it.
Yes,
it causes cancer, but we're going to still sell it. But you can't smoke there, and you can't smoke there, but we're still going to sell it. We're going to get this money. We're going to get this $3 and some tax on it. We're going to get this big hefty tax, this excise tax or whatever it's called. We're going to get that. But it kills you. It causes cancer. It does, but we're going to keep selling it. So you're telling me that if it's so bad, why in the world are you selling it still? If it caused it so much, why are you still selling it? Now, let's go to alcohol. Vodka, scotches, brandies, there are no health rewards for it. Wine, okay, it's a little proven fact that a little wine helps your heart. But vodka doesn't help your heart.
Whiskey
doesn't help your heart. So if it's so detrimental, why are you selling it?
So why are you allowing it?
And why are you allowing it? You see what I'm saying?
Well,
so you
see
why.
Alcohol and tobacco fuels a lot of the political parties that we got going on here.
But it's not only that, it's the tax
revenue.
It's a high tax for every liter. They get so many dollars, not cents, dollars off of this. So they're saying, you know, so I guess for everyone, let's just say for every $10 billion annually liquor sold, they probably get $3 billion of it. So, you know, we're going to sell it. But guess what? We know that they are bars. But if you drink and drive, you go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I allowed to drive to the bar?
You should be cab service to the bar.
But you understand, I'm simplifying it. But now you see the hypocrisy that is in
the
government.
Thing. I don't understand that. How can you tell me that, hey, I can understand at a restaurant. At a restaurant, I understand you're not smoking at a restaurant because you're sitting down and eating. But in an atmosphere where you're partying, where there's nothing but loud music and drinks, people who smoke are going to want a cigarette. So now you got them buzzing around outside.
But you have people who never smoked trying to make policy. See, that's what I'm trying to get at. Then let me go a little farther. You have in your country, you're saying so much killing. We need to ban guns. We want to confiscate guns. Now, you will send truckloads of guns to arm Civil War people so they can war in their own countries, so they can kill themselves. But you don't want you see what I'm saying?
But we can't defend ourselves
but
over
you
here.
Let me ask you a question.
I don't know anyone who has killed somebody, but let me ask you this. Do you believe that if I'm going to go on a killing spree, I'm going to go buy a gun and register it and go kill with it?
No.
No.
Where
do you think these guns come from?
You
that
get
people
from
are doing?
Throwaways?
Exactly.
Not only that, you get people, even government people. They come back.
Look at the dude that went crazy on the military base and killed everybody.
No, you don't, not even that. The dudes came back from the war with a Connex box full of machine guns. They were selling them in California to gangbangers. I'm talking about machine guns, ones that when you pull the trigger more than one bullet.
Can I ask you this? How did they get them back here?
Through the government. They put it in a Connex box where they could not mark it. It was special operation dudes, some dirty ones.
Mm-hmm.
Their Connex boxes don't get checked because they can take any kind of weapons they want. They're not governed by the regular military.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to come in and check everything. So they put a whole bunch of weapons in there and turned around and sold them to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not on here to talk, you know, trying to put my opinion on different policies and saying, you know, this. What I'm trying to show you is that if you're going to make something policy or whatever or try to control a thing, you better be able to stand the test that's going to be put up, because if they're going to look at you and say, why are you doing this? And we should be doing this in our lives anyway when we make decisions on our children and at jobs if we are leaders. Why are we doing this? Are we doing this just for our gain, or are we doing this to help everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Because we cannot have laws and things just to help one
group
kind
of
person.
You know, and I agree with that, because you know what kills me? You said something earlier about them saying, we need to stop them from doing this. You know, we got to stop the sale on guns. We need to, you know, you can only do this so many times. But I've never seen a registered gun owner, or I've been to plenty of gun shows, I've never seen a registered gun owner or someone who collects guns snap and kill a bunch of people. It's always been people who don't have those registered guns, who buy it on the black market, those people who are in the military who snap and lose their minds and go off and kill a bunch of people. Now, I will say this, like everyone used the example of those poor children at that school who passed away when that gentleman broke into school. Now, they were saying, his mother, why does she have those guns? Because it's her right as a citizen. the thing is, everyone wants to find a soapbox to stand on and something to preach about.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, now we need to ban the guns because of this. Now, I hate to say it like this, and I'm very vocal, but everybody knows that little withdrawn kid, that child who is a little bit off in the class. You know people are being bullied. You know all this. So people handle stress different kinds of ways. So in his mind, he may have been thinking, I'm going to stop them from getting to the point where I'm at. I want to stop them right now. I want to do this. Has anybody ever thought to think where that boy's mental state was
mm-hmm.
to go in there and attack a bunch of little kids?
Mm-hmm.
So why did he get that way? It wasn't, instead of everybody saying.
He didn't get that way overnight.
Right. Instead of everybody saying, let's put laws in place to prevent kids like this from coming to this point, they want to attack the gun. If you lay that gun on the ground, it won't shoot anybody. It's the person who pulls the trigger.
Yes.
So it wasn't the gun that killed those kids. It was the boy who used it. Instead
mm-hmm.
of putting something in place and governing, saying, you know what, when you have that weird kid in your class, we ought to put some kind of law in place that says, hey, we're going to pull him out of class. Let's get him some counseling. Let's find out what's going on at home.
You don't understand. See, that's where the hypocrisy comes from. You make no money in preventing. You make more money in treating.
That's just like
so. That's why this world is so backwards.
Yes.
They just love hypocrisy. Oh,
now they're saying you
want...
can't sell sweets. Like the kids at school, you can't have certain sweets. Your kid's gonna get sweets anywhere. The parent provides the sweets, not the school. Now they're saying, you know, lady got fined because she didn't have the right balanced lunch sent for her child. She got a fine. So now you mean Tim, you're going to find me because of this? Are you buying these groceries over here? Has anybody been to the grocery store lately? Because everybody says, it's more healthy to shop on the outside of the aisle, and it's more expensive. So if you have a mother pinching pennies, it is quite easy to go get a 99-cent McDouble from McDonald's versus crawling a lean filet mignon.
But that's what I'm saying. We're being hypocrites. It's not for the government or any other person to raise your child.
Now
if your child is getting fat, it's because not because of what they're eating, it's because that parents
doesn't make them
go
outside.
That's it.
They have no activity.
But it's because of people won't come clean up the community where these kids can ride the bikes and all this kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and the government want to keep putting in these halfway houses in normal neighborhoods,
yes.
and things like this. So now you got
rapists
and all this kind of stuff in by your house. So kids don't want to go outside. Parents don't make them, but you can make me go outside. You are 4,000 miles away, and you're giving me fines for raising my child.
And not
because
to mention,
how
like,
your child, half the politicians and stuff, their child on coke and all of this, coked up and all this. So,
heroin, meth, all kinds
of
things. So, you know, another thing that bothered me when they tried to say that they can no longer sell the big drinks. Remember when they said,
in New York, they said big gulps.
You can't sell big gulps.
Now, if you go to a store, it's certain things that certain stores can have them, but like fast food places, they cannot sell large quantities anymore. Or like,
but okay, now you see how dumb
that
is.
That is stupid.
How dumb that is, because for the simple fact is, in most, I don't know about New York, but in most fast food restaurants, when you dine in, you can get free refills, right?
Mm-hmm. But going out, but actually purchasing it, they can find the company or whatever like that.
And that's stupid. So you mean to tell me you're going to limit me on what I can drink? If I want it bad enough, I'm going to buy two.
So
you see the double-edged sword? Let me tell you another thing. They'll raise the price of the food so bad, but obesity in America is out of control. Again, like I said, I can take $3 and we can all get a 99-cent hamburger and be full, which is probably not the best thing, versus me getting the things to prepare a salad.
It's
that we'll only eat that one night.
And people don't understand. It's easy.
And then here you go throwing in that everybody got a weight loss pill.
It's easy to get the cheap meat like beef because it's readily available.
Mm-hmm.
And it's normally
but
in the
But you don't want to eat red meat.
But it's normally in the South. And it's normally where
it can be raised. But all your grains and things like that, see, they're not saying the reason why those prices are going up is because we've been in a drought for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can only pick one plum, I'm going to set that one plum high as I don't know what so I can get my money back.
Yeah,
because I got 4 million acres
now,
that I just bought.
But
what you're saying
in
is,
indoor.
But what you're saying is correct. How can you tell me that I cannot eat certain things?
Like it riches, make it green now.
So how can I eat? And I can't. And you're telling me that I can only eat this. I'm not going to your doctors. I'm not doing all of that. I'm not a burden on you, per se.
And not even that, how can you tell me what my money can afford?
And how can you tell me something when all the flaws you have?
You're expecting me to eat lox on hamburger money. That's not going to work. You know what kills me? When these politicians and things make rules like that, you're not hurting. You don't know what it's like to go to bed without your lights on.
The politician,
you don't know what it's
like. Who made the thing about the soft drinks and the candy, he's a billionaire with a B. He has never been poor.
So you don't know what it's like to say, oh, you know what, oh, my goodness, I don't know how I'm going to pay my lights. Okay, so either I pay the rent and the lights go off, or I pay the lights and we still be put outside. So what do you do?
Yeah,
so they've never had their lights off.
They've
never known what it's like to go sit at the table and wonder, what are we going to eat? Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take this flour and water and make some dry biscuits and take this old dried up honey that's been sitting up here forever. Luckily, it doesn't go bad, but I'm going to feed my kids on that. That's happened to me, but they can't say that.
Mm-mm.
They
yeah,
can't say that.
That's why.
See, the thing is, you don't know, people can say all the time, we want to get in touch with our smaller man. If you want to get in touch with me, come spend the night at my house.
Yeah, get out of all that billionaire stuff and live regularly. Like the people that you're so-called over, go to those boroughs and live in them projects.
Exactly.
And without your guards.
See what it's like to be in a day of life. You know, I was talking about that, me and somebody was talking about that Madoff guy, and we were saying how he did that Ponzi scheme
and
got all that money, and they sentenced him to 150 years. He's 75. He's going to be dead in a little bit anyway. What good is that going to do? So we were talking about it, and I said, what would you do in a case like that? I said, well, I didn't say this. The person I was talking to said, I would strap $1 million to him in 20 and drop him in the middle of the hood and put it on the 6 o'clock news and say he will be running through the hood. If he can make it from this point to this point, he can go free.
But you would be a hypocrite if you were a politician, because the politicians don't do nothing but turn around and do the same thing he's doing, but they get away with it. I looked the last 1 year I was on looking at TV, and actor. Oh my God, he didn't pay his taxes. He goes to jail. The politician don't pay his taxes. Oh, he'll pay them in a little while.
Honey, if I don't pay my taxes, they come to take their little teepee in there.
No, I'm just, but what I'm saying is, you know, you see the hypocrisy
in this. Because the thing is, people don't realize, I get so sick of hearing that, you know, these laws and rules are put in place for a reason. But why is it they only apply to a certain class of people or a certain person? Like, you can't make rules and say, well, I'm going to say that it is against the law to run this stoplight. But if you're in a Bentley and you're rich, I'm going to let you go with a warning. But if you're not rich and you're in a hoopty and it's shooting out flames out the back, I'm going to drag you out the car and beat you at the lights so you remember next time don't do it.
No, I'm going to sentence you to the maximum that the law allows to make a point.
Exactly.
But if you are...
Just like my friend when I was in high school, I will not say his name, his family may be listening, but he received 25 years, him and four other gentlemen. He was a junior in high school. 25 years for stealing four videos out of a Blockbuster video. And the judge said, I'm going to make an example of you. Now, come along nowadays, you have a boy who was wired up on drugs and killed a group of people in a car. Driving, I mean, killed them. A family killed them like they will never see another day. I mean, killed them, more than one person, several people. And he got off with a year of probation because he has a condition. And I forget what asinine, stupid name they come up with. Yes, because I'm rich and I feel I can get anything I want, so I feel like you should be able to do that. So if that's the case, I have that same thing. I'm poor and I have a condition that says that I've been poor so long I feel I should be able to get whatever I want, so I'm going to go rob and kill a bunch of people and give me probation. You think it'll work that way?
No.
No.
It'll work that way.
It's hypocrisy. It doesn't only affect the people directly under you. It affects everyone.
Everyone.
Everybody can
everyone.
See it.
Everyone. Everyone. Now, I will say this. We've got 8 minutes. And so one thing we do know for sure, there are hypocrites among us. In all walks of life, there are hypocrites. They're in our homes. We have parents who curse their kids, but they don't want their kids to go to school and curse. They're exposed to all types of explicit sex acts, but make sure the kid doesn't do it. We're exposed to so many things in the home. We're exposed to so much in the church. We're supposed to look over the fact that Reverend Do Right has a little girl that's pregnant, and his wife has got to sit over there and rub her tummy. You know, then we got our politicians who makes laws to fit certain people. They go to jail and rot, where certain other people do the same thing, break the same law, and they don't. None of this happens. Now, as I say at the top of every one of our shows, this, I'm not here to preach to anybody, but it's called Let's Talk Truth. So we're telling the truth on every aspect that we have discussed tonight. Yes, there are hypocrites among us. But understand one thing. Everything that is wrong against others, that we do to other people, we will have to pay for those things one day. So it won't matter how much money you got. It won't matter how many people you know. It doesn't matter how many positions you hold. You can be the grand poobah. But guess what? You will pay for the wrong that you do. And I just think that people don't understand that hypocrites are very dangerous because they influence you in so many different ways. And we just have to understand, the only thing we can do is make sure we are not one of those hypocrites. We've got to start somewhere that, you know, we're not going to be one of those. And we've got like 6 minutes left. We're going to ask our guest, is there anything you'd like to offer as far as solutions? We've all said that, you know, health care, if you're going to deal with that, cut the price on a lot of this stuff they're charging for.
I'll even go smaller than that. I just want to let everyone know, when you're making a decision, whether it be business or personal, don't just think of how it'll positively impact you. Think about how it will negatively impact someone else.
Yes.
Take just yourself out of the equation. Think of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would like to say is that to try to kind of piggyback on what Shannon was saying is not only your decisions, but realize that you affect change. You don't need anyone to change for you. You affect your change, and you use your position to better the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
You try not you normally, the best decision neither parties will be happy with. That's what you need to kind of, you know, you don't want to need to lean this way. Well, you're right. You know, you need to be able to make the best uniform decision.
Where you both have to make a change to make it work.
Exactly. You know, and that right there will go a long way in life, correcting a lot of mistakes that have been put in place. So that's what I think.
You know, and that's absolutely right. So we've come to the agreement that there are hypocrites among us. And, yes, we are living in a world where people tell us what to do, but they don't do it themselves. And because we're labeled as hypocrites, it takes away our power, our influence, our positive influence. And this is where, when we're labeled hypocrites, that's where that force, you've got to force me to follow you. You know what I'm saying? You take away my choice.
You have to control me.
Yes, you have to control me to make me follow you. Because if not, because of who I know you are, I'm not going to have any confidence in what you do or confidence in what you say. And so we need to kind of gear our day-to-day activities based on the fact that I do not want to be labeled a hypocrite. Whatever it is I say to you, that's what I want to be. I want to find myself, and I want to make sure that the decisions I make have nothing to do with me as a person. Or I just want to make decisions that are right, that are positively affect everyone, and it's right for everyone to do. So we have to really be aware. Now, is that a job? Yes, it is. To make sure you are not hypocrite status is a job.
But
so
it'll
keep you out of everybody's business. I saw a lady the other day trying to sue a man because he was working at her house, and he had dug a little hole by a retaining wall so that he could fix it. But she was so busy in her yard. Number one, you're out there where the people are working. You don't need to be out there. And number two, you're trying to find what's going on across at another neighbor's yard, and you fall in that hole and want the the man working there to pay you because you fell in the hole.
Don't they pay you when you're a construction site to set yourself down somewhere?
Exactly. So we have to think about stuff like that. And how we are presenting ourselves, you know, you have to, you know, how we're presenting ourselves. So that's one thing I'm really happy to, you know, to have been able to do this show, Hypocrites Among Us. If you're a hypocrite, change your spots, you know, and you can change your spots.
You can't, you hypocrite, it's time to quit.
Yeah, you don't have to be a hypocrite your whole life. You can change.
Yes, you can. And it's a good way. It's a good thing to change. You know, if you're going to say, if you say you're a zebra, let me see your stripes. So these are the things that we're going to go forth. And I do hope that you have all enjoyed this broadcast. Broadcast Hypocrites Among Us. I want to thank Shannon and Courtney for being our guests here. And we're working on doing a show on location. And when we do, I really hope everyone will come out and see, come in, take part of it. If you need to write us, you can be sure and do that. Send it to Let's Talk Truth 333@yahoo.com. Send me an email. I do get some emails, but send me one so that we can talk about anything you want to talk about. And then this is Lois Bullock. This is Let's Talk Truth. And guess what? I'm loving you with the heart of God. Good night.